I come around to the same conclusion as you, that basically I have a different relationship with judgment now, and it gives me the opportunity. Usually when I have a really strong reaction to being judged, it's because I actually haven't prepared well enough. I didn't know my audience. I didn't know the content. And so it really, now when I have that strong reaction, I take a little bit more ownership over it.
Welcome to the Trust Your Voice podcast. I'm your host, Sylvie Légère, and this season, my episodes are designed to be trust shots. That is, I will bring you discussions to empower you to trust your voice, be a convener, and to be a life enhancer. Melinda Oakes is joining me, and Melinda is the author of the book, The Cheerleader's Guide to the Workplace, How an Awesome Attitude and a Peppy Perspective Will Help You Go Fight and Win at Work. Melinda, welcome to the show, and thank you for doing this with me.
Thanks, Sylvie. I'm so excited to be here.
Let's dive into it. Melinda, in your book, the first chapter of your book is titled Judgment. And this is what I'd like to unpack with our audience today. And why did you start your book with that topic?
Well, Sylvie, my goal in writing The Cheerleader's Guide to the Workplace is to have readers get to the end of the book and be emotionally years ahead of where I was when I started out in my career. I was really naive in my younger years, and I thoroughly believed that the values of hard work and merit would get you to where you wanted to be. And honestly, I think that those two qualities are fantastic, but we are complex beings, and the workplace reflects that complexity. So the very first thing we encounter when we're putting ourselves out there is judgment. And I'm so glad that we're talking about this today, because often before we even meet a person face to face, we are already being judged. And because of that, because this is the beginning of everything, I'm proposing that we, as both people being judged and, quite honestly, the ones doing the judging, that we get more comfortable with it, we do it better, and we use it to our advantage.
I'd like to add that our world, and I feel like it's always been the case, that we are always judged, right? Especially today on social media, all these emojis and these reactions and these and dislike is a form of judgment, of this constant micro judgment on everything that we do when we are out there on social media. And also, like you said, in the workplace. And I think I remember that fear of being judged and how it has stopped me from asking questions, from sharing ideas. And I think I've learned to also make a difference between judgment that might be attacks on something really I can't change and really negative, but also like constructive feedback on a work product based on expectations and things that are intended to make the end result better and get us all towards the better solution. But it's hard to distinguish. How do you talk about that? Like, how should we in our mind distinguish judgment from feedback and also perhaps quiet that fear of judgment and even feedback?
I have an answer to that. But first, I want to say kudos to you, because you talk about how you had this sort of fear of judgment and it stopped you from sharing ideas and voicing your concerns or maybe even sometimes your compliments. But look how far you have come, and you've created this national phenomenon, which is exactly a forum for people to get comfortable, to talk openly, and to feel stronger and empowered. So I love that I'm talking with you of all people about this. And my take on it is that you have to accept very early on that you are always going to be judged, and then manage your strategies around that. I love that this question is coming after what you just shared, because psychologists refer to the fear of judgment as a fear of negative evaluation. And my book is entirely based around the workplace, and poor evaluations always have undesirable consequences. So what do? We avoid opportunities where we might be judged, which then leads to negative evaluations. It's a vicious cycle. So I take the mindset that if that is true, then the opposite must also be true. Putting ourselves out there to be judged can quite literally only result in positive outcomes with the right perspective.
Yeah, I think I really appreciate that, because I feel like there are soundtracks that play in our head, right? Especially when it comes to judgment, that stops us to say, oh, what are they going to think if I say this, if I say that? And I remember trying to work through this fear of judgment someone telling me, you have to just say, here I go again. I am afraid of being judged, and quiet those thought, that soundtrack. And we let ourselves really express our views, share our ideas, be visible. The one thing with this fear of judgment, we become invisible. And that is not how we advance in the workplace, in our career. And I appreciate you mentioning the policy circle, because in a way, participating in these informal roundtable discussions as using a framework like the policy circle helps us actually overcome this fear of judgment, because we need to practice speaking up and expressing our views, even though we're not an expert on the field, with a lot of uncertainty, and we become more comfortable. And if someone lashes back or criticizes us, we could just take it as perhaps a little mosquito sting that goes away. But then it's something that perhaps could be constructive. I'd love for us to talk about a little bit what drives people to judge. So let's remember again, like, I feel feedback is on something objective, on the work product, and we need to be able to take feedback, because we all, with the mindset, we always want to get, and we need to look at it constructively. And then when people judge and make little comments as, oh, that's bold, or like little comments or things you can't change, why do people do that? And I think, Melinda, you have like great examples of that in your book.
Thank you. I think judgment is a prediction of outcome. And I love that you mentioned that. It's like a bee sting and it'll go away. And that is one thing. Time is a great healer, not only of the moment of being judged, but also of learning how to cope with judgment and realize that you're doing it too. And it's a process of human nature. I think when you're interviewing for a job, and again, of course, my lens here is from the perspective of the book, and I talk about it in the workplace. So when you're interviewing for a job, the first thing you do is evaluate the landscape, the location, the perks, and the people. This is when you walk in the building and you consider whether or not you even like that before you learn the details of the actual job description. So your judgment in that regard is both subjective and objective. For better or worse, the same thing is happening to you during that process. Before a person or an organization has a chance to evaluate your work, they're evaluating you. And it's human nature. And the best way to combat that is to be aware that it not only happens, but that you are doing it too. It's mutual.
Yeah, that's right. It's mutual. And it's funny that you start your book with human nature. And in my book, Trust Your Voice, I started with unpacking, trusting that there are features of human nature. And it's interesting to, I think, in order to be able to overcome the fear of judgment, you have to accept that we are all humans, like you just said, right? We will all be judging. We do it. People do it. We have to accept it. And we have to accept all these traits of humans, which include our capacity to do good, but also our capacity for lack of a better term, do evil, and that we can behave altruistically, kindly, but we could also be selfish or mean or react out of fear. And I think, I know that in my book, I like to think that there's 10 different features of human nature that drive us to perhaps judge others or react without intentionality or without being really thoughtful about the impact of what we say or do on others. And sometimes as humans, we always try to find the easiest path. So we might judge others if they're like trying to find the hardest path. We want to have control. So we might judge others because they want to take over or have more control. We have a tendency to lean towards groupthink. So someone who thinks outside of the group, then we might judge that, right? And we also might judge out of fear, our own fear of the unknown or of big things. And at the same time, I think if we come from a place of really positive human features, such as empathy, love, or our feel for competition and connection, creativity, and even those good features could drive us to judge others. And I think we have to just be conscious, I think, on both ends, on what type of judgment we are doing to situations or people.
Hi, this is Sylvie here. Are you looking for a new focus in your life and your career? Well, in my book, Trust Your Voice, I give you practical steps to gaining confidence so that you can take on new challenges and trust your instincts. You can find it on Amazon.com, and I invite you to reach out to me on LinkedIn or Instagram if you have questions or feedback about the book or the show. So now let's get back to the episode.
So let's talk about how do we respond to judgment. We talked about just accepting that it really exists. And then the big question is, how do we react to it? How do we respond? What are your thoughts?
First of all, I just want to say that everything you just said was so juicy. And I love this conversation. I'm over here feverishly writing notes because I want to comment on a couple of the tidbits that you said as you were going through your comments. And I wanted to say that this is the season of Lent, if you are of the Christian faith, and perhaps there are other faiths that observe that as well. I'm not sure, but every year for Lent, I give up gossip. And it's funny because I perceive myself as a pretty positive person and a fairly likable, I would say. And yet I find that I have to give up gossip. I had this one sort of experience early on in the early 2000s where I gossiped, and that same day I broke a crown, and it was a nightmare. And I thought, this is some kind of weird punishment because I gossiped and it didn't have great outcomes. And so ever since then, for Lent, I give up gossip. And it's my way of framing my negative thoughts. So instead of the moment where I want to tell something that I heard, I take a moment to think positively about either that person or that moment or that incident and see what I can learn from that. I wanted to say to that point, judgment is a work in progress. Even as early as this morning, I was talking with my husband about connecting with you, and he asked if I was nervous, and I was like, absolutely. And he was like, why? And I said, of course, I'm afraid of being judged, which is exactly what this episode is about. And again, back to human nature, it is a work in progress. And one of the things that I always say is maybe I have grown wiser. I hope that's the case. But also, maybe it's possible that it's just a time capacity thing and I have deprioritized my response to being judged. But I don't know. Let's hope that I've grown wiser. But anecdotally, and I talk about this in the Cheerleader's Guidebook, sometimes we have qualities that just stick out. And no matter how unrelated that they might seem at the moment, someone's going to pick those qualities apart. And in my case, that quality has always been my hair. And I know that's really esoteric, but that is it. The hair has come back around time and time again. I've had media trainers, partners, employers all tell me that I should straighten it to be taken more seriously, to look more professional, to look better, or whatever other subjective judgment that they have in mind. And for years, I did it just to please them. So again, my goal here is to help people start out emotionally further along than I did. And this is a prime example. Sometimes I do like to wear my hair straight, but I also really love my natural curls. And I found the more that I embrace all of my natural qualities, the more I build my personal brand. So whether it's my hair or my work or my ideas, I just try to realize that if someone has a negative subjective response to me, there's not a lot I can do about that as long as I'm leading with love and positivity. And that's always going to be their issue and not mine. Mine is the reaction to it.
Yeah, it's true that. And I think like one chapter in my book, I also talk about the more you know yourself, I feel like the more you are able to build a little bit of a shield or be like a duck where the water just rolls off your feathers, right? Because you know what you stand for, what are your values, what value you bring to the table, and you're able to take perhaps those judgments with a little bit more of an opportunity perhaps to see an opportunity for growth, to see a yes and a no is the approach with judgment. But also I find there's tools, like for me, it really helped me to do a test that is called the Strength Finder or the Clifton Strengths Questionnaire by Gallup. And I actually have a whole episode on that topic, and I invite everyone to listen to it because it ranks 34 strengths. And it gives you a language and labels to understand what you are naturally very strong at and good at. And it gives you energy. For me, for instance, it is individuality. I love to ignite the potential in others, and I love to have these one-on-one conversations and discuss the possibilities. That's something that I'm really strong at. I'm also more about context, and I'd like to bring a historic background. It's fascinating to understand your top strengths, but it's also very enlightening to understand your bottom ones, because that's where those are your blind spots. And perhaps those are the areas where it will sting more if people judge you or you find judgment or things that touch those parts of you that are not as strong. So I find that's a really good tool. The more yourself, the more you can accept the judgment of others or reject it, or like you said, things that you just can't change. Like I can't change having an accent, for instance, for the longest time made me really self-conscious. And now it's, hey, after 30 years, this is just who I am. It's not going anywhere. And so those are like, for me, the tools that are helpful to respond to judgment, to quiet those soundtracks that are negatives, to know what you stand for, what are your values, what's important. Like in your case, you love your hair. No one's going to change that. So you react to it. And then also these other tests like the strength finder, the DISC, and then you can also anticipate. I think the other part is you can anticipate the judgment a little bit that people will say, will direct towards you. Like there are things that you might do that might get people to react a certain way. And you have to say, a lot of times you're guilty by association. They shoot until they don't shoot until you are over the target. And sometimes even no good deeds go unpunished. These little cliches sometimes are helpful to anticipate judgment. And the more you anticipate, the more you know you're prepared for it, I think the better you react. So let's conclude our conversation. I think like you and I, and why we're together on this podcast, that we've grown, and you mentioned this early on in our career, in our life, we take judgment really seriously and we let it bring us down. And now we've learned ways to cope with it and also to accept it and to know what we stand for, what we bring, what we love, the value we bring to the table. How do you deal with judgment today, Melinda? And maybe do you fall trap in being brought down by judgment sometimes, or how do you deal with it?
First, I want to say that I love your voice and your accent. It's amazing. And every time you call, it's a good moment because I'm like, ah, oh, she sounds so beautiful. And you are so beautiful inside and out. So your voice is part of that. I love that about you. And I want to echo what you said about the strengths finder. I have a terrific boss. Actually, I have several terrific bosses. But one of them was an early adopter in the Clifton StrengthsFinder assessment and suggested I take it right when I started working here 9 years ago. And I absolutely loved it. I can see myself in the results of my five primary strengths. And also, I should tell you, there's a really fun connection to Marvel superheroes that takes all of your biggest, best qualities and then plots them on a Marvel superheroes map, and you find out which character you most closely align with. It's really fun. So I highly recommend to everyone to take it. And I want to hear from everyone who has woo, because I don't have woo, but I really wanted to have woo. I thought that was a really fun strength. But anyway, back to your question, I will tell you in my growth trajectory on this topic, I have found that the stronger my reaction is to being judged, the more likely there's something about my behavior or my performance that's worth reflecting on. It's like my own version of Murphy's Law. It's like Melinda's Law. Usually I reach the conclusion that I either wasn't fully prepared, or I didn't know the content that was being discussed, or I didn't know my audience. I didn't walk through the possible questions and answers. It really does almost always come down to me. And I think that's actually a good thing, because that's the thing that's within our control. It's our own behavior and our own expectations.
Yeah, thank you, Melinda, for sharing that in terms of looking at when you are judged, maybe there is a reason for it. And when it stings the most, perhaps there's a little nugget of truth in it or something that you need to address. Let's wrap up with some advice for our audience. I think the first thing is, if you quiet that fear of being judged, if you just accept that it's going to be there, you allow yourself to be seen. You allow the room to be filled with your light, and actually you allow others to shine their light in the room. You set an example and you invite others to also share their views. So I think like we have to think of it that way to overcome that fear of judgment. And it's not necessarily just about us. It's also about letting others feel comfortable with sharing their views and not feel judged. And that would be my advice. Quiet those negative soundtracks, know yourself, and let yourself be seen.
I love that. I couldn't agree more. You have to give yourself grace and put yourself out there to learn and grow and practice being judged and practice using your own judgment and filters better and always figure out how to grow from the experience. And the only way to do that is to get out there, say yes, speak up, and take part in society.
Yeah, it's true. I love your practicing point of view. That's great advice. And it's true that the policy circle model of bringing together people to have a round table discussion about a policy issues, which are complex issues, is the best way to practice speaking up and practice overcoming this fear of being judged. So thanks, Melinda. All right, listeners, we hope you really enjoyed this conversation. You got some values here, a little trust shot to trust your voice. We are signing off, but we want to hear from you. So drop us a line on how you deal with judgment at work. And you will be able to find the post about this episode in LinkedIn. Send me an email at sylvie@trustyourvoicepodcast.com. I would love to hear from you. And if you like this episode, give us a 5-star, write a review, and most importantly, share it with a friend. So thank you so much. Have a great day and trust yourself.